somewhere close a choir sings. Across the way the lights are shining. Across the way someone believes. But I am lost here in the silence. I get lost inside of me. Come melt my frozen heart this winter. Come bring your loving arms to me. Come melt my frozen heart this winter. Your love is something I believe.
Hello, dear listener. And thank you, Christian Chambers, for that beautiful opening song. I'm Susan McCabe, and it is my pleasure once again to bring our own Vashon poets to the VOV audience to celebrate the winter solstice, returning to the light. With me today are seven of our island's talented poets, including this year's Poet Laureate, Margaret Ronconi, and several other former Poet Laureates. How does a person become a Poet Laureate on Vashon Island?
Well, case in point, the first Poet Laureate, Ann Spires, who's with us tonight, was walking down the street, actually very close to here on the sidewalk, and Ron Irvine drove by, this is on the main street, main highway, in his pickup and stopped in the middle of the road and called out, "Hey, Ann, want to be the Poet Laureate?" To which Ann replied, if I'm getting this anecdote correct, "Yeah, as long as I don't have to do anything." And thus began the wonderful tradition of the Vashon Poet Laureate.
And how many years have we had Vashon Poet Laureates?
12.
12 years? That's a long time. Okay. Thank you, Susan Lynch, for that little story. And Margaret Ronconi, our current Poet Laureate, welcome, and thank you for getting this whole thing started.
Oh, thank you, Susan, for your gracious welcome extended to us on this winter solstice. We hope our words of poetry bring warmth and comfort to all our listeners.
Thank you, Margaret. And now, dear listener, find a cozy spot, pour your favorite cuppa, and relax while the words wash over you. Our first poet is Lynn Carrigan. Welcome, Lynn.
Hi, Susan.
What first brought you to poetry?
You know, early on, poetry seemed to me kind of trivial, or soppy, sweet, or comedic. And nothing really took until the 12th grade, 1963-64, a year of shocking world events. You know, there was Vietnam and sit-ins against segregation and Kennedy's assassination and that soaring rhetoric of Martin Luther King. And I wanted more complex material in the English classes that we had. And my English teacher, Mr. Cummings, responded. He gave us Shakespeare and T.S. Eliot's Wasteland and the Soviet Russian poet Evgeny Yevtushenko, whose poem People Everybody Should Read. And it gave me a model for looking past our differences into humanity's troubling interiors. So I'm going to read two poems about the solstice and that ache for the light.
All right.
This is Do Not Fear That Starry Dark. The night sky is our true teacher. By day, we watch other things. Our speed, our manners, our budgets, our deadlines, our liquor levels. We tend to house repairs, our children's homework, our bills, fertilizing our plants in summer and putting the garden to bed in fall, before the precious daylight disappears and we are driven indoors to turn on incandescent bulbs, computers, televisions, Game Boys that tell us stories not our own by artificial means before we sleep. Our ancestors knew better. living outdoors in all changing weather, circled around a blazing fire, watching rotating constellations, predicting each season, foretelling events, and guiding each migration and ceremony. Those swirling stars illuminated with another kind of brilliance. At solstice, time slows down, and the universe speaks to us in light language.
Lovely.
I'm going to read one more called Better Call Soul. Don't turn your back on me, old friend, old pal, brightest star in my heavens, so steadfast. I've always assumed your brilliance would shield me forever, at least tonight. But I feel your presence diminishing, and again you wander away from me, with only a brief stormy glance backwards, and then nothing but heavy clouds between us. Maybe not so sudden, but so slowly that I long did not notice your passage. Nothing but dusk arriving earlier, that trickster that flattens out all color. Copernicus and Galileo would disagree and prove me mistaken for blaming this distancing on you instead of my own cold circumspection. Was it, in fact, I who drifted, tilting, turning my face from you nightly for months when darkness led me far away from the being that I am when golden and sunlit? I am always drawn to you, always, my revolutions unintentional. Like countless others, before and after, I can only huddle between blankets, in my madness burning the midnight oil as long as it can last to keep me warm, drinking and dancing and singing laments, small candles in windows calling you home.
Here comes the sun, doo-doo-doo. Here comes the sun, I say it's all right. Little darling, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter. Little darling, it feels like years since it's been here. Here comes the sun.
Thank you, Lynn. Our next poet is Claudia Hollander Lucas. Claudia, what first brought you to poetry?
Well, I had to think long and hard about that because, like most other things in my life, I come in through the back door. And it went back to sixth grade, I'm afraid, where I was made to, by the Penguins, you know who I mean, had to... memorize a dreadful poem called O Captain, My Captain, about the high seas, death, and war. It did not sit well until I got to select my own poem for a poetry contest at the school that I went to, and I chose The Twins by Henry Lay. I don't know if you know that poem, but it's I found it to be psychological and humorous, surreal and mysterious to me. It begins like this. In form and feature, face and limb, I grew so like my brother that folks got taking me for him and each for one another. It troubled all our kith and kin. It reached an awful pitch, for one of us was born a twin, but not a soul knew which. Did I win the contest? No, it was my adversary in seventh grade, Michael Quideris, who had a very popular poem called Casey at the Bat.
Huh.
So anyway, my poem was apparently too obscure for the crowd, and I kind of let it drop until I was in college, and my artwork started to become as mysterious and psychological, and I started writing about it, and I would tack obscure poem on the back, and then over the years, the writing started to be equal and then become dominant. So now I make one-of-a-kind art books all by hand, and it started in sixth grade.
Wow. A life of artistry.
All woven together, I'm afraid.
I think that creativity is creativity, and it takes many forms. So give us your poetic form.
Okay. So my first poem is based on an experience I had last year in early April when I took a three-hour train ride from New York City to Washington, D.C. It was a super fast, modern train with wall-to-wall windows. And I watched the seasons morph like in a time-lapse film from New York's just budding lilacs to the magnificent, fragrant, evergreen magnolias. Okay, so anyway, this poem is called This Train. This train is a wrinkled drink in this certain winter, nothing in mind, as her train window flashes in landscapes, a shudder of gray, white, gray, white, gray, white, gray, then a speckle of pink inside the thin strands of liminal green. A woman boards with her giddy flick of a ticket like a newborn leaf. As swift as an hourglass, she empties this winter, a flirting glimpse of Eden, a suddenly spring along the wet tracks on this southbound train.
Lovely. I was there with you on the train.
Choo, 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 click, click, click. My second poem was written my second poem is launched by a Civil War poet. It's a declarative poem with a lot of I's. Usually in my poetry, I avoid that word. And I thought, no, I'm going to really embrace it for this one. And it was written by that poet whose dreadful poem I had to memorize in sixth grade. Now, a poem launched from Walt Whitman's Leaves of Grass. I have heard what the talkers were talking, the talk of the beginning and the end, but I do not talk of the beginning or the end. There was never any more inception for a then as there is for a now. Not more of one's youth or of age than there is for now. And will never be any more perfect than there is now. The learned and unlearned feel the same. Does a horse own its rider? And which owl knows that he carries the moon? How is it we urge and we urge these short days out of dimness? The nights are yet full of teeth, so I and the mystery stand here unsheathed, stout as a horse, a haughty, who electric. I will not speak of the past, nor do I invoke the dead. I live in the now, not talking the talk, for I and the mystery stand here as one, confirmed, as one only, and only the same.
Wow.
That's great.
That is impressive.
Me and Walt.
You and Walt, yeah. Nice job. Good partnership.
Okay, and this last poem is launched by the mysticism in all of us, It's launched by Rainier Maria Rilke. It's translated from the German by Stephen Mitchell. O limbs of life, O limbs of life, where does your winter come? My blood does not forewarn like the birds who migrate through trees that have let go their leaves. We layer ourselves in wool and down. Is this a resistance to hibernation and the iced over ponds? Somewhere lilies are blooming. We feel their pull in the night, as if conflict were our second nature. All it would take is a ticket to fly out of this earth's contour between winter and a warmer clime. Yet I stay, and I stay. What is it to choose the drizzle and chill, the low contrast of this seasonal curtain? I choose the untended garden. I feel the shifting balance that dwells in each of our skins, well known by this time. Yet here, star pinched, that touch of a robe that has been set to its own constellation, an alignment of limbs, a dial moving forward, to you like the birds, ever so naturally.
Wow, and I've chosen some music from our own Vashon Islands, Aralee James. This is The Art of Letting Go.
Said will haunt me now, but I tell myself that this will make me stronger. So here I am, I'm letting go, and life is moving on again somehow. They tell me all I need is time.
I could listen to her all day, the incomparable Aralee James, a Vashon resident, and a nasty woman who recorded a song for Hillary Clinton when she was running for president. Okay, moving right along. Our next poet is Poet Laureate this year, Margaret Ronconi. Margaret, what first brought you to the light of poetry?
Well, Susan, the light of poetry first reached me during my sophomore year of high school. I was fortunate to be taught English literature by a lay teacher among a swarm of black-robed nuns. Her name was Miss Lanzione, and she was young, confident, with a gift for extracting poems from shy girls. I gave her my first seriously written poem titled Nightfall. In turn, she wrote me a 3-page letter in red ink in lovely cursive. She enclosed the letter in a small copy of T.S. Eliot's The Wasteland. Among the many things she tried to convey to my naive mind was, be unafraid of truth and write from the heart, and all deceased but not dead and living poets will rejoice with you. So all my life I've been trying to live up to those words.
That's a tough one.
It's a tough one. I have a poem to read about the solstice. It's titled, Dusk Comes Early. Dusk comes early, paints our window like wings of the blackbird. Here in this warm-lit house, I weigh a word or two on a timeless scale. Fractured sentences create a candle beneath the organ of heart, an organ protected by guardianship of bone. By the still shallow pond, a rustling cedar branch. November combed the earth clean as the world turned a shade darker. Seasons spin with a margin of fragility as we wait with tense patience for the return of light. Thank you, Susan.
It's winter fall. Red skies are gleaming. Oh, seagulls are flying over. Swans are floating by. Smoke and chimney tops. Am I dreaming? Am I dreaming? The night's drawing. There's a silky moon up in the sky. Yeah, children are fantasizing. Grown-ups are standing by. What a super feeling. Am I dreaming? Am I dreaming? Whoa, whoa, whoa. So quiet and peaceful, tranquil and blissful. There's a kind of magic in the air. What a truly magnificent view. A breathtaking scene.
The dreams of the world in the palm.
In case you didn't recognize it, that was Queen. Tyler, that song is A Winter's Tale. And again, I could listen to that all day. But we have more poetry, and our next poet is Susan Lynch. Susan, tell us what first brought you to poetry.
Well, the light of poetry first reached me as a 4-year-old, reading A.A. Milne's book of verse When We Were Very Young, followed soon after by Now We Are Six. I loved the perspective that matched my own, although I didn't use that word, and the wonderful forms, the cadences, the snappy internal rhymes that clicked like jigsaw puzzle pieces. The heart and the humor, the poems felt like spells, incantations to me, and still do now we are 71. And I wrote a sestina specifically for this broadcast. I wrote it last week. And the sestina form, it's formed around the use of six, hence the name sestina. Six end words in six-line stanzas repeat in a strict revolving order that allows a little poetic license and must use the words in varying meanings that move the poem through its message with a certain ring. The coda at the end is a tercet, or three-line stanza, in which the six words appear again in a specific order. And I've written a series of these on and off during the holidays since 2010 to juxtapose the seasonal traditions and messages with what's happening in power structures, and hopefully provide some light and hope to the reader, listener. And this one, you may relate, is called Four-Letter Sestina. Do you hear what I hear? See a glow like halos round the cedars on the hill? The glimmers of the sun on tides that flow bring tidings of great joy to feed our souls, while sound bites chain our energy to fear, as ever was the litany of woe instead of love, as if some billionaires can buy our love, disguised as Grinch green greedy eyes that glow with promises of lies. Same old story, fear of power over, Dickensian, Homeric, Herod's will. The age-old plots don't have to rule our souls. As in each strong heart, true courage flows. In each kind-hearted word, a mighty power flows. Each open-hearted look, endowed with love, more real than any swaggering swipe to steal. Our souls, our greatest gift. The stories show the afterglow, we know by heart, and cue the choirs, yes. But will we hold true to our higher selves and free from fear stand tall amid the phalanxes of fear? Like some bad movie we already know, the flow of more bad actors are distracting. But free will and better natures will prevail. In every tale, it's love that conquers hate. It's children's gifts of gentle joy that glow, brighter than bitcoins set to blow, brighter than rockets. Souls hold the light that never will fail. Old souls have seen it all 1,000 times and know the fear and how to shield their hearts and let that glow light up the night and let that goodwill flow to beings near and far, in oceans and in stars. It's love that is most powerful of all, always has been, always will. So in the darkest week of darkening days, we will tend the light within our wise and sometimes weary souls, as once again we help to keep it straight. It's love, dear friends, and never hate that's great. It's cheer and never fear that's cool and never cruel. It's time to let love flow and let love rule for real. It's right in here. You feel that glow? You see those lights up on the hill? Don't fear the fairy flow of earthly and angelic souls. Allow your heart to open and love out that radiant glow.
Stray bullet and a mama cries. Her baby won't be coming home tonight. Siren screaming down the avenue. Just another story on the evening news. Oh, whoa. Politics and prejudice. How the hell did it ever come to these? When everybody's gotta pick a side, it don't matter if you're wrong or right. No.
And that was Carrie Underwood, Love Wins, following Susan Lynch's excellent poem. Our next poet is Anne Spires. She was the first Vashon Island Poet Laureate
I was.
You were. And what first brought you to poetry altogether?
Altogether, the first time that I thought I better get to it, when I was about 24 years old, and my new husband turned to me and said, I thought I married a poet. And so I got down to business, which was a joy. But mostly I go and I find poems. I go out walking and I find poems. In winter, I need to record in poems the day's darkening as well as its diminishing light. After the solstice, light returns to my poem when, at the close of winter, the year's first flower, the osoberry, looms in the dark depths of the Douglas fir forest. The osoberry is a fountain of sticks hung with distinct clumps of frilly white flowers. Their show is a quiet light in the woods at eye level, hundreds scattered in the dark days. I need to walk out. I need to record this. I need to ask others, tell others, consult my reference books, Google, find words, align words, make a poem. I'll open with two poems from my chapbook, Bunker Trail. And yes, we did live down Bunker Trail, ferry side of Dolphin Point, and we did have to walk out to find anything. So I'm going to read this rumor, and if you live on Bunker Trail, you wait for the sun to finally migrate so it shines on your house when it finally gets around Dolphin Point. This rumor fills all winter. Some years, the sun comes back around Dolphin Point. The whole earth tilts in its orbit. The sun pushes northward. Squinting, we marvel for days. We are blinded. Tinfoil turns terrible with light. Although there is none, we search for color, imagining yellow or purple. We set guard by the Corcus and Forsythia, whispered to break first. We pretend this sun has heat.
Nice. I think we call it sunbreaks here in the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
And this is not my Costco poem. It's the opposite. Before we went to Costco and got too much, we actually went out onto the beach or in the woods or our neighbors, whatever, and brought back too much, putting up for winter. The glut. We net smelt out of the wave's long run. Eagles snag silver, scattering crazy. Salmon so plentiful, their splishes racket upstream. Bear smell hot at every trail turn. So thick, huckleberry milked from the stem, plunk, plunk, in our buckets. Fresh scat, purple with fruit. So much, we cannot stop. Heavy loads, just one more, wood stove glowing into the night. Horse clams, dozens, jarred up erect. Apple slices strung on grocery string, zigzag across the room. So much. Steam, heat, and smoke. Days, nights, fill with doing. One by one, too much. Oh, thank God, hunger.
I wonder if you can still get that kind of bounty, particularly from the beach. Can you?
Oh, find the clams?
Yeah.
The North End Beach was like the New York City of clams, but I have not been back there in a couple of dozen years to redig.
Thank you, Anne. Here's a little music to go with your poem.
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I gotta go away.
baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been
I'm hoping that you
so
dropped in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands, they're just like
mine. My mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your
My father
hurry?
Will be pacing the floor.
Listen to that fireplace
so
roar.
Really, I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't
but
hurry.
Maybe just a soda pop.
I'll put some records on while I
the
pour.
The neighbors might think,
baby, it's bad out there.
Say, was that a wink?
No cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew how.
Your eyes are like starlight
to
now.
Break this spell.
I'll take your hat. Your hair looks swell.
It's really not that cold here on Vashon Island, but somewhere, it's really cold. And you are listening to Vashon Poets Bringing in the Light for the Solstice. Today is the solstice, the shortest day of the year, and we are celebrating the return of the light starting tomorrow. Our next poet actually is not here. She is Sandra Noel, and our poet laureate, Margo Ronconi, is going to read what first brought Sandra to poetry and some of her work. Margaret?
Thanks, Susan. I'm honored to read Sandra's work. So she wrote, "The light of poetry first reached me when a new English teacher arrived at our rural high school in the small town in Virginia where I grew up. Our school had little to offer beyond the basics. Most of our teachers lived in the same town and had a very limited view of the world beyond it. I don't remember his name, unfortunately, but I do remember the impact he had on us. He taught us to think about poetry as an art form, just like painting and music had, and had us reading everything from the romantics like Keats and Shelley to Poe and Bukowski. Then he played us Bob Dylan songs on his guitar. He could. Then had us read the same lyrics out loud as poetry." And I'm going to read a poem Sandra wrote titled "Bless This Day" for Kelly. "We reached the top of Dilworth Point after a few miles running just to warm up, catching up on time away for the holidays, careful of the hoarfrost coating the road in the early morning dark. A thin line of gold in the distance stops us dead in our tracks. A saffron fire sunrise burns through ice-coated cedar lace as it slowly rises. Glory lifts our hearts. Oh, golden glory! Two friends, arm in arm, stand together without a word and bless this day." Sandra's second poem is titled "Winter Song." "There was a song whistled by the thrush, learned early and passed on to me, as I stopped by the cattail cloister, thick matted with dead stalks and leaves of this long, dry summer. It is the last refuge in the pond. Golden maple and willow leaves cover the ground, leaving skeletal branches and no place to hide but deep in the muck. If you happen to have gills or the cattails, if you don't, fear the heron's sharp eye or the hawk overhead. The song must be of winter, the coming cold and damp, the end of abundance, and time to fly south if you happen to have wings, or hunker down if you don't. We hold on to what remains and let go of the rest without much regret. Love was never simple for us, so we must make allowances and time for each other on this rainy evening. The cold air bites down hard and we sigh, remembering our younger selves when we held each other, hands full of hope. But the long days of summer are over, reminding us both how little time we have, leaning toward the fires of winter, glad for a good roof and replaced windows. We are birds of a feather, hunkered down together, which has its contentment in November.
Hey, sweet Annie, don't take it so bad. You know the summer's coming soon. Though the interstate is choking under salt and dirty sand, and it seems the sun is hiding from the moon. Your daddy told you when you were a girl the kind of things that come to those who wait. So give it a rest, girl. Take a deep breath, girl. Meet me at the Bay State tonight. And the snow is coming down on our New England town, and it's been falling all day long. What else is new? What could I do? I wrote a valley winter song to play for you.
That was something called Valley Winter Songs, song by a group called Fountains of Wayne. I've never heard of them, but the song worked. And our, Hunter Davis is visiting family today. She is one of our very talented poets here on Vashon Island. But she sent us her story about how poetry first found her, and she is honoring me with the permission to read both her story and her work. What Hunter says is, I first discovered the light of poetry when I learned words could carry me through journeys and retain and expand the experience. Sort of like a souvenir, only it doesn't end, and sort of like a belief or method of life. I think it was fourth grade when I fell in love with words and started keeping a collection of them, even ones I didn't know of the meaning or the spelling. That love led me to poetry. Ah, yes, Hunter, the love of language. And here is Hunter's poem for the solstice. It's called Planting Narcissi Bulbs Near Winter Solstice. In the quiver of this winter afternoon, I plant narcissi bulbs, believing my task is saturated by the future's mystery. I jab the shovel at the stony ground, flip spit poles of earth, fingers gone to ice, place bulbs in holes. Caged in darkness, they gain confidence to emerge in bloom come spring. Thank you, Hunter Davis, for sharing your work with us. Jessica Satori is also out of town. She is another of our poets, and she has asked Susan Lynch to read her work. Susan, what first brought Jessica to poetry?
Well, Jessica writes the following. The light and winter came through the east-facing window. A full moon moonbeam kissed the top of my head when I was four. Hey, she was four as well as me. I woke to find dreams and hopes in these things called books lined on the shelves of the family library. It was year one of my sisters, instead of putting them in alphabetical order, decided to group books by color. I saw the colors that seemed to come toward me, beckon me to discover them. I got up from the couch in my long flannel nightgown, stretched like a cat, and pointed my toes toward them. From thence, poetry flowed trippingly from her pen, as this one that she has written and sent to us called Solstice, Solstice, much like the Better Call Soul we heard earlier, the double entendre. Here it is. December, a constellation of holy days crowns the year. First, early in December, Advent candles are placed in a wreath of cedared greenery. A circle of three purple, one pink. Before supper, we light them every night in anticipation and sing for spiritual sustenance. Then, large columned candles and rose bouquets encircle the statue of Our Lady of Guadalupe on her feast day. The smell of the flowers and the incense mingle while her tilma dances with stars. my turn. It's a celebration of my incarnation, my time here on Earth. I still find birthday candles to recall this journey, another trip around the sun, lighting the next step of this adventure. Soon after the sweet solstice, always looking up at the wonder of the universe, what I can see and what is invisible to me. Some days and some years I've lit luminarias, a few years toasted the sunrise with whiskey. If you drive slow enough, you may see me. Then it's Christmas, the celebration of Christ's birth, his time on earth. Get up early to hear the silence of the stars. Then, time to open fat and jolly stockings, cram cheeks full of chocolate, launching lusty laughter, eventually succumbing to slumber deep and long. At last, it is New Year's Eve, opening its arms to embrace us and take us into a new year.
The warmth of your love's like the warmth from the sun, and this will be our year to the long time to come. Don't let go of my hand now, the darkness has gone. This will be our year, took a long time to come. And I won't forget the way you helped me up when I was down. And I won't forget the way you said, darling, I love you, you gave me faith to go on. Now we're there, and we've only just begun. This will be our year, took a long time to come.
And that was The Zombies. This will be our year. I hope this is going to be your year, dear listeners and all you poets. So we're coming to the end of our show, and our final poem for today is an epic treat. VOV's own jazz guy, Bill Wood, has written a poem titled Song. Perfect for Bill, who has written numerous songs on his own and recorded close to 500 episodes of The Jazz Guy over the station's life. And the other part of the treat is that another VOV veteran, Jeff Hoyt, has recorded it for us. Here is the poem, Song.
Song, written by Bill Wood, read by Jeff Hoyt. It's just a song I used to know. I can't recall the lyrics, though. The scraps of song run through my head, and likely will, until I'm dead. And then the tune will move along and be some other pilgrim's song. For I believe, without a doubt, that once you let a song get out, it never really goes away, but breathes among us, night or day. So everyone should learn to sing, for song's the one undying thing. And when the earth dies, as it must, the songs will loiter in the dust, unseen, unheard, with nothing there, the sweet, insouciant, silent air. Bill Wood.
Thank you, Bill Wood. Thank you, Jeff Hoyt. Thank you, all you wonderful poets who have been with us today to share your work. What a perfect close to our day is Bill's poem. And thank you, dear listeners, for joining us this solstice afternoon. I hope you enjoyed this little break from holiday madness. I want to remind you all that Islanders depend on Voice of Vashon for information during emergencies. Please go to voiceofvashon.org/oldmanwinter. Do it now. Donate to keep this precious community service going. Your gift helps us maintain our transmitters, fuel emergency generators, and pay for everything else we need so we can continue to gather and transmit urgent information to help you stay safe, warm, and dry when Old Man Winter blows in, and to make sure that the voices in our community are heard 24/7.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, poets. And let's go out with a little bit of Simon and Garfunkel.
Happy solstice.
Happy solstice.
Happy solstice. Happy solstice.
Time, time, time. See what's
is a hazy shade of winter. I hang on to your hopes, my friend. That's an easy thing to say, but if your hopes you pass away, simply pretend that you can build them again. Look around, the grass is high, the fields are ripe, it's the springtime of my life.
There's a patch of snow.